You're about to watch what we call an extended clip of the Young Turks, and the reality is it's somewhere in the middle. It's a little longer than our YouTube clips, but it's actually shorter than the whole 2-hour show, which you can get if you're a member. You can get it ad-free, and make sure you catch every news story we do that day. You're going to love it as a full show. That's at tytnetwork.com/join. Thanks for watching.
Drop it. Welcome to the Friday edition of the Young Turks. It is a power panel. It's so powerful that honestly, there's not enough room at this table. Uh-huh. It's also hot in here, and there's four bodies at this table now. So it is getting hot in the studio.
Four hot pods.
I feel great. I'm not here.
I, on your show this morning, I did not wear a jacket. I looked foolish. So I put on a jacket, and I'm too hot.
Now you feel foolish.
Yeah. We are sitting really close together, which I've been on a panel with four people before. I didn't notice
we're
how
bigger,
close.
I think.
Yeah, good thing. Like, well, yeah, you brought a bunch of like meatheads.
You guys stay in the gym, right?
Thank you. Actually, thank you very much. That's a better compliment.
Well, okay, that all aside, I want to welcome you guys to the show. JR is back once again. We did the first hour yesterday, actually.
I'm almost done tweeting. Sorry, you guys.
Almost done. He'll join us at some point. He's writing a novel. Brett is here, and Brooke as well. Welcome back to the show, everybody. I do want to say, this is sort of behind the scenes, so Cenk does that thing where he drops the power panel or whatever. He likes to do big demonstrative bibbity-bobbity drop of the thingity or whatever. I can't do it. So in my mind, I thought, I always wait until 3 seconds before it happens to think of what I'm going to say. And I pictured in my head sort of a like dramatic hamster blue steel thing, but then I realized the 75% chance that's not going to work right and I'm going to look ridiculous.
Do you know how that presented like to us, people that weren't inside your head, was this. It was just John going, I'm not going
to
do it.
No,
you have to. That's what he did.
That's basically what it was.
Just basically
what it was. Oh, I get it. I missed it.
That is
right
basically
as,
the truth.
As it was coming out of the open.
Pretty much. Look, we have a lot of news that we're going to get to. There's also going to be an awesome second hour, obviously, post game after that. We've got so much news. We've got a little bit coming out of Donald Trump's ridiculous rally yesterday. Not too much, but a couple things we want to touch on. The EPA has now released their replacement for the Clean Power Plan. What they're going to do in reference to coal plant regulations, you can probably guess. And then two Republican groping scandals we're going to be breaking down at the end of the show. But I want to start off with something. I apologize, it was not in your initial stack. It came out right before the show started. But for over a year now, there's been these J20 protester trials going on. So the people who'd taken part in the protest during Donald Trump's inauguration, batches of them have been going through the judicial system. The government is pissed at them for a variety of different things. Now, previously, a number of them had already had their cases dismissed. So far, the government has not been able to actually get any charges to stick on any of them because they were just protesting. And as of today, the final 38 activists had their charges dismissed. So unless something changes, that entire process is now over. And thankfully, well, a few people had, they had pled guilty to minor infractions, like they'd gotten fines in community service. None had actually been found guilty of the charges the government had put against them.
Good. So what does the 20 stand for? And the J? Do we know?
It was Disrupt J20 protests. January 20th, I think it was.
That makes sense.
I'm not entirely
sense.
Sure. We've reported on this multiple times, but I don't remember.
Yeah. Inauguration is January 20th. That's a really good context.
Exactly, yeah.
I think it was the J.
But this has been ongoing for a while.
Trump.
Good.
That's also
possible.
That's probably more likely
what it is,
right?
That would be bad.
But anyway, good news, obviously, if you didn't think that these charges were valid in the first place, good to see that they've finally been dropped and the government can move on to other things. With that said, the big story of the day. Today, Donald Trump's international trade war has entered its next phase with big tariffs going into effect between the US and China actually being enacted on both sides. So this is a statement actually from the Chinese authorities had said that these new trade regulations imposed by the Trump administration, which amount to a 25% tariff on $34 billion worth of Chinese imports, have, quote, violated WTO rules and launched the largest trade war in economic history to date. We don't know for sure if it will actually be the largest in history, but while that is the Chinese point of view, it also might well end up just being what actually happens. So we enacted those tariffs. Chinese authorities quickly retaliated with equivalent tariffs on $34 billion worth of imported US goods, previously promised as ranging from vehicles to soybeans, beef, and other agricultural products. And in particular, China seemed eager to do these tariffs in a way that would affect Trump supporting states more than others. And so we've been talking about the various promises that have gone back and forth from Chinese and US leadership for a while. But now a big set of tariffs have actually gone into effect. But that's not the end. We're going to have some more information for you as well as we step into this new phase.
I just hate this feeling that Trump has talked about doing something and how he's going to rattle a saber, and now he's done it. And, you know, I particularly hate the feeling of knowing that he's in charge during all these moments. Because he has this narrative of being this businessman who's able to negotiate great deals, but I really haven't seen any of it. And I do believe that he believes in himself, but I do not believe that he has the ability to really navigate these very difficult, complex waters appropriately. I mean, he's been in a bunch of different industries, a bunch of random different industries, but nothing on the level of manufacturing anything more than maybe he's just been on branding, like throwing his name on it. But in terms of like supply chains that rely on raw resources from different countries at different levels, at different levels of manufacture, I just don't have any confidence that he can really deliver this trade war victory if there ever in the history of the world has been a trade war victory.
He also has to know what that trade war victory is. What are those numbers? Also, just the fact that a trade war in the first place is something and there's no definitive line. It just kind of starts happening and people are affected by it, which people already are. Businesses already are. Now, the people in these states that are Trump voting states aren't going to feel it right away right now, which is a little bit of his buffer. So the thing is, this could get worse because now he's going to promise larger ones. And then so when the retaliatory tariffs come back to us, then he's going to double down again because it's not enough yet. They haven't kowtowed to his demands yet. So once that happens, then he thinks he's winning something. But the thing is, we've participated in a world, an international trade, and where goods are crossed over between different countries. That's the way it works, obviously. So then once companies have to then take up for the higher costs, then they put it to consumers. That just doesn't happen right away. Jobs get changed. Now, that's already happened, and there's been lowered hours for many workers with the steel tariffs that happen right now. Mm-hmm. So that's the first effective part. So people have to, their prices on things have to start going up, and their jobs have to actually be lost first. I don't think he's consciously thinking this. He's hoping, he being a person who would think about this, is hoping that he can do this in the short term and then the people will buckle early so there's no actual thing that's felt yet. That would be a win for him, but that doesn't seem to be on the horizon, especially since he's promising more. So just the people worried about what could happen is where things could change. I mean, markets and things like that and people's businesses moving over, which Harley Davidson he's fighting with now. Mm-hmm. He thinks that's just the way to go about everything.
That's what's so weird is he's like fighting with Harley Davidson now. Mm-hmm. This like, it's if he's like this expert messenger, the like icon of American open roadsmanship is something he's locked in this debate against. And now his base has to make the decision, what do they like more, Trump or motorcycles? And that's the thing where it's like maybe that will be the breakdown that opens some leeway for people that are against Trump to kind of go through and message to those key voters who end up living in places like Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Have we not already been there before, though, where people are kind of voting against the greater good of themselves?
Oh, yeah.
When you went greater, I was like, not even greater, just directly against themselves.
Yeah, when it comes to certain jobs, certain industries, they're still there at the bottom, hanging on by a thread. They're all losing their jobs in certain industries and being like, but he knows what he's doing.
What I would have expected, totally, for a long time, but I would have expected that some of the symbolic stuff could have cut through that. Okay, they'll vote for someone who doesn't have their economic interests at heart. They've been doing that for literally decade after decade after decade. But Harley Davidson is supposed to be this conservative, iconic thing about Americana, open roadsmanship, as you said. So JR alluded to the next set of tariffs that could theoretically happen. And we don't have to wait to get at least some idea of what it might look like because Donald Trump has been talking about it in the last 24 hours. Hours before the deadline for the tariffs were going to take place, this is late last night, Donald Trump upped the ante, warning that the US may ultimately target over $500 billion worth of Chinese goods, or roughly the total amount of US imports from China last year. He would go higher, except that can't work. because we only bring in so much. And to give you an idea of how little thought actually goes into this, he just bops from idea to idea. Yesterday on Air Force One, he vowed to implement tariffs on an additional $16 billion worth of imported Chinese goods within the month. So he's in one part of his mind, he's thinking maybe $500 million, maybe all of what, you know, our trade with China. And then randomly thinks, $16 billion, we'll do that for now.
Listen, like, blue collar jobs in America need help, right? And I'm not again, like, protectionist trade policies in some version or another can make sense and sometimes are necessary. It is crazy that the most protectionist person in the world right now is a Republican president. And I don't know what the next step is. I just keep coming back to this idea of like Trump's the one making these decisions. Trump's the one rattling his saber this loudly. And there are real people's jobs at stake. And he's offsetting any potential gains that the economy has been making right now, despite of, because of, who knows, any marginal. Already these tax cuts are not going to like actual workers, aren't going to actual people. Maybe there's some in line with inflation rise in your income, but that's going away with these specific types of tariffs that Trump is just kind of generally shooting around. And it's whatever extra money you get because of a healthy economy right now, you're going to lose because things like, you know, your produce and the things you buy on the regular basis are going to be more expensive.
There's other aspects of this too that I found out more was part of the war. It's not always just based on the money. So even the perishable goods like pork, meats, fruits, things like that that go through these customs, these other countries can also delay them, keep them in their ports longer, and then they rot. I mean, that's the thought of, oh man, the company's losing those goods. But you know what? Those are goods, and how many people in the world itself need these things? I mean, just perishable goods where you eat, you know, and we're just letting it rot because of one guy's ego and his desire to want to be the head honcho and biggest badass of the world. That's all he's thinking about. Yeah. But then in the meantime, food and products like that just rot at ports because of the retaliatory nature of these things.
Coming from states that overwhelmingly support Donald Trump too, which is fascinating to me. And then you have Republican congressmen coming out against this because it affects the people in their area. But you almost knew this was happening. So is it too late to be like, okay, I'm against this? I saw everyone against him say this wasn't a good idea and I ignored that. But now, please don't be mad at me.
Well, and also, he talked about these tariffs during the campaign.
Right.
It was one of the things, I guess it wasn't sexy, people didn't want to focus on it, but he talked about just blanket, I think he said 35% tariffs for all trade with other countries. He's targeted it a little bit more, pretty much just against our allies, honestly, but he had been talking about it at that time. And for the moderates who might be watching, or if there are some Trump supporters who might be watching, you might think that we're reading this wrong, the numbers. It'll work out in the end. They'll give up, they'll surrender, and the deals will end up being better. Hey, maybe that might work. But I also want you to understand that while this is going on, Donald Trump is trying to win you over by implying that he is being strong to China. China has been screwing all of us over. They've been cheating us, and only he will stand up to them. But have they actually been screwing everyone over? I mean, after all, you know that his products that he sells are made in China. Ivanka Trump, who you love, her clothes are made in China. And you might think, well, that's been around for a long time. Maybe now he's gonna, you know, be more pro-American in what he gets made and what he sells. We already found out that they've begun ordering flags for his re-election campaign that will be made in China. And in the meantime, he throws up new tariffs. Are they hurting him? No, he's not trying to sell buildings to China. It doesn't affect his business directly at all. But for you, if you're trying to sell goods to China, have fun with the new tariffs they're putting on your goods coming in. And if you're trying to buy things coming from China, which is a significant portion of what we bring in from other countries, you're now going to pay more for it. So he can imply that he's got your back. But when it comes to dollars and cents, he's doing just fine as he makes you hurt more and more month by month.
I want to have one more small example. Because there was companies, I read through a bunch of them, the things that they're paying for in the first round of this. One particular company said they kept jobs here because a lot of them are leaving, like the way Harley Davidson did. This particular company kept their jobs here. The West Bend Company, they paid from 150,000 to 175,000 for more steel and aluminum as a result of this. They said they kept their jobs here, and the head of the company said, I almost feel like we're being punished for that. Because now you're paying more because you said, I'm going American, I'm sticking with the patriotic approach to my country, because that's what Donald Trump always preaches. Yeah. But as he does it, he punishes those people directly. So does he hear those things? Number two, there's an isolationist approach to this now. You think other countries can't start trading with each other and eliminate our aspect of it? Yeah, I know America is the biggest country in the world. It's very necessary. Our products and goods and trades are needed. I get that. But after you've ruffled all of this and thrown everything up in the air, there's going to be new partnerships that have been forged.
Yep.
And how hard is that to undo after you've made your point?
No one knows this better than China, who went into like isolation for 100 years and are coming out being like, all right, we're ready to play.
And maybe they're not so afraid to go a little bit further that way.
And that's the other thing. It's like China looks at, has been judging Trump based on his actions recently. And he said he's this expert negotiator. He goes over to Pyongyang and they sign a treaty and then nothing happens except like the building of nuclear facilities even bigger afterwards. And there's that plus, like, what does China have to wait? 2 years? Maybe something else will change.
Yeah.
You know, and they have total control of every facet of the economy, top to bottom, and they can do
this. In a way that Trump does.
And they have a multi-decade plan that, for us, this is live or die. This is Trump either potentially doubling how long he's in office, but you know, changing his term limit by 100%. But for the current, you know, Xi Jinping, it's just like, it's another 24 months. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I do want to take our first break. When we come back, Donald Trump held another one of his rallies. He did what he does. And I don't think generally we need to cover too much of it, but there's some pretty significant stuff, especially, I would imagine, for a table of journalists. So we'll be talking about that when we come back from this break. Welcome back, everyone, to the Friday Power Panel. It's myself, John Arola, Brooke, Brett, and JR are here. We've got a couple of tweets I want to read for you. Brett, Real Now Then Zen has some advice for you.
Okay.
Says, Brett, jackets can be taken off.
Oh.
You don't want to see it.
I always say you should take it off.
Watch this episode of the Damage Report from today if you want to see it.
They made me put the jacket on after you told me to take it off on Pop Trigger because I looked schlubby.
I think you look fine, but
thanks, John.
Yes. We have a comment not about Brett. That's good. Senora Tradora says, okay, I'm loving this power panel. I really dig Brooke on air. And of course, everyone else, duh.
And whatever.
Thank you.
That's
thank
awesome.
You. That's great.
Thank you.
jackets can be taken off. Brooke can be taken off too. So you have to be careful with the comments. If we don't like the comments that are coming. I am sock tweeted, Trump declared bankruptcy as a business tactic. He's doing the same thing to America, and God knows what that means. It means that he'll end up being just fine, he'll get bailed out or something, and we might be screwed. Okay, with that, why don't we jump back into the news? If you thought that the tragic mass murder of 5 journalists at the Capitol Gazette last week would lead Donald Trump to moderate his tone when talking about journalists in the future, you must be new here to American politics, because that's not happening. So he had a rally yesterday, and of course he loves to talk about the media, and here is him doing just that.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, you must unlearn what you have learned. And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Because I see it. I see the way they write. They're so damn dishonest. Hell yeah! And I don't mean all of them, because some of the finest people I know are journalists. Really, hard to believe when I say that. I hate to say it, but I have to say. But 75% of those people are downright dishonest. Downright dishonest. They're fake. They're fake. They make the sources up. They don't exist in many cases. Anytime you say, you know, I saw one of them said 15 anonymous sources. I don't have 15 people in the White. I mean, forget it. 15 anonymous sources have said all sorts of stuff. These are really bad people.
So there, really bad, just super fast, that he doesn't have 15 people. Apparently his comms team has 40 people. So there's more than enough room for those 15 anonymous sources.
In the White House?
That is insane.
Yeah, I'm assuming he means his comms team. Obviously in the White House, he's got probably hundreds of people.
That's an insane, like, part of a thought. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I don't have 50 people. And he abandoned it in a second because he realized how stupid that sounds.
Mm-hmm. He's like, even these idiots won't buy this.
Right, but he ran with it. The way he abandoned it, as if, I'm not even going to finish this because you already know. I don't even have to finish it. But you get what I'm saying. Well, I was like, no, I want you to finish it.
So, yeah, what is it? Because he's talking about the anonymous sources. Anonymous sources don't just have to come from your communications department, they come from anyone, aides of other people in your cabinet. Yeah. They're in meetings all the time. There's tons of people. So, yes. That point that he abandoned was that there's not 15 people in the White House. Mm-hmm. There's not 15 people in the executive branch. Yeah. There's not enough of 15 people to actually reveal anything is happening that happens behind closed doors that could be a source. That's what he said.
This is totally
Watergate
true.
Watergate started with an anonymous source. Like, stop. Yeah.
This word anonymous.
He has been an anonymous source himself. Yeah,
Charles Gasparino tweeted, just heard POTUS at this rally complaining about the use of anonymous sources. For the record, he was one of mine over the years.
Not anymore.
And he used to claim that he used to call into radio stations and say his name was John Barron and then talk about how awesome Donald Trump is. I guess that's not technically anonymous. It's a made-up name, but it's still kind of underhanded. But that is, I think, the least troubling part about what he just said. Sure. And part of it was he had that weird bit in the middle where he said, some of them are the finest people I know. I hate to say it. I don't know why he hates to say that. But I realized when we talked about the damage report, I didn't realize what he was doing right there. He said, they're awful, awful people. Some of them are fine, I'm sure. That's the way he talked about Mexican rapists and murderers back when he drove himself into our lives 2 years ago or 3 years ago.
That's what he thinks is the clarifying fact. To be like, I mean, I'm sure there's a few. I know those few, and that's all that really counts. But outside of that, all the rest of them are monsters. They're animals. They're dogs. They just want to destroy your life. So follow me. It works for this kind of crowd.
I mean, I can respect that journalists are annoying to people in power. Because, I mean, you're supposed to hold them accountable. I can respect that. But it is weird. I go back to weird a lot. I'm in a weird space in my life right now. And he spoke more negatively about journalism than about racists in Charlottesville.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Find people on both sides. Yeah.
Because the threat to him is the media. Uh-huh. Because the media's job is to protect our sense of reality. And there's a lot that's messed up about the media, and it's pointed out on mass general media, mainstream media on this network by a lot. But there are specific examples, there are specific things that are pointed out. It is not this general sense of things morons say by water coolers of like, some of them I'm sure are fine, 75%, that's a number, they're all stupid. And what's frustrating is he goes on TV and says this in a place that is just his base, that's just his rally. And it is that little bit by bit growth of insanity where you see him say like one thing that might get people to cheer and people get used to cheering. And he says the next thing, which is more insane. And you get to see more people cheering the more insane thing. And it just grows and grows. Mm-hmm. And it's just like when you here's a group of people laughing across the way and you're like, oh, it must be funny over there. Mm-hmm. You go, and even if they're insane people, you're kind of drawn in and a little curious. And that's what I'm afraid is happening.
Right. I mean, yes, media in general, every possible media outlet out there is not perfect, but the institution itself is important and necessary, especially in this country, especially right now.
You know, we're like reasonable people, so we have to keep saying things like, obviously the media has some problems. Oh, we've done enough of that, okay? No, screw him, screw Donald Trump. He's trying to get journalists killed. That's what he's doing. I think, Brooke, you said that you have a weird feeling from this. I don't have a weird feeling. I have a sinking, dreadful feeling that he knows that less than a week ago, someone took a gun and went into a newsroom and tried to kill as many journalists as possible. And less than a week later, he's telling his gun-toting rabid fans, they're very bad people. They lie to you purposefully about the most important things happening in this country. They lie to you about me, your God. And what are you going to do about very bad people? He didn't go back to saying enemy of the people yet, but very bad people is pretty close. He knows exactly what he's doing there. And you can say that there's no direct link between what he has said previously and what happened at the Capital Gazette, but he knows that there are people out there who despise the media so much that they want to see them killed, some of them right into us on a daily basis. And he goes in front of his insane fans and tries to get them to hate the media. It's like I said in TDR. It's like a 2-minute hate in 1984. He's trying to get them riled up, and the target are the exact journalists that we know are already at threat of death in this country. It is beyond irresponsible. It is purposefully trying to stoke hatred and possible violence against this group.
So, I mean, once that happened with the Gazette last week, or it was last week, last Friday, he went on and said, journalists like all Americans should be free from the fear of being violently attacked while doing their job. And under the pressure from all these other politicians, they also had to, remember, they finally lowered the flags to half-mast because he didn't want to do that because he actually doesn't care. So every time he has these condolences and worries and concerns and the American people should come together and I want to provide you comfort, thoughts and prayers, every time he gives any of those, remember, there's no actionable policies or anything he has, honestly, words after that one statement. He says that he leaves, go, oh, done with that lie. Now I can go on back to being who I am and actually despise all these folks. Because remember his condolences after the last three school shootings, even though there's one every week. The biggest ones, which actually prompted many students to actually come out Parkland and everything, right? Thoughts and prayers, condolences. We need to come together. I can't believe this should never happen in America. What has he done about that? Nothing. Vegas shooting. Oh, thoughts and prayers. I can't believe it's horrible. It's happened in our country. Nothing has been done about that. Yeah. So after this latest one, thoughts and prayers, condolences. Can't believe this happened. He's out a week later advocating the same type of violence because he does not care. So next time he gives you those condolences, don't buy it. You can straight up say it like one of the survivors of this latest of the Gazette shooting. She cursed on air and was like, you know what? I don't need any more of it. F that. I don't need it anymore. Approach it that way now.
And it's sad where it's gotten. There was a video that BuzzFeed News put out of these two kids outside a Trump rally.
Oh, we didn't play that.
And we didn't have it. But these two, like, six-year-olds. Mm-hmm. And they're asking what, and it's a BuzzFeed reporter asking these two six-year-olds, what do you think about Trump's immigration policy or something? Or whatever it was. And they go, there's too many Mexicans. We don't want the Mexicans. They're coming in. They're taking our jobs.
They're overpopulating us.
Of course, they're
wearing MAGA hats and they have Trump shirts and they don't know what they're saying, of course.
Well, neither do the adults.
Yeah.
They're saying the same thing.
But they're being raised to believe this
stuff.
They're saying
the same thing. And it's an elementary approach and that's a big proof of that.
And it's an elementary, exactly.
They don't know what they're saying, but the little brown kids who are in kindergarten with them know what it feels like to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And it's life-changing. It's devastating. You can't wipe that out. You know what I mean? For the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. Somebody saying that your classmate when you're six, saying that he can go on and be a non-racist and change his life. But that will always be a story in your history. There will always be something that affected you, that changed you. That's horrifying. I haven't seen that video. Ugh, I don't want to.
Yeah, yeah, and I know, so Brett and I, we've been having this ongoing conversation. But obviously, you're more vocal. Obviously, we both want future conversations politically to be about the issues. And I have this fear that the damage he's doing outside of the issues makes it impossible to get to that. And one of the things is, I don't know how quickly you can repair the damage done to not like respect for the media or whatever that's supposed to mean, but just accepting that generally the things that are said in the media aren't necessarily purposeful lies to you. So like when we in 2020 want to have a conversation about Medicare for All, and we say, hey, you know, there's this analysis showing it'll actually save a bunch of money, results will be better, there's all these countries. They don't believe that any of that is remotely true. They don't believe facts, they don't believe the media, nothing that's reported is true. That's my fear, and we're seeing it every day. I mean, he's not gonna back off. We don't get 2 weeks out of a mass murder of journalists in this country anymore, of him not stoking the sort of hatred and distrust.
I still have optimism that people want a positive voice that cares about people. And
I agree.
It.
I do want the same thing.
And if that shows
less
up,
hope.
If that continues, I think that it can win. And I think we need to do that. I think we need to have someone say those things. And there are people out there that have potential to make that happen. I think there's Trump fatigue, but I think people, I mean, it was a great thing seeing Ocasio-Cortez just list a bunch of things she believes in because she cares about people. Mm-hmm. And that is so refreshing. And there's a lot of damage being done every day. It was horrifying to see this video of these two kids. I'm afraid that in 2 weeks, it's not gonna be as horrifying to see stuff like that. Mm-hmm. In 2 months, I'm not gonna notice it. Mm-hmm. But I think there are people out there, just as Trump pierced with this cynical blabbering that's just rousing hate. I think if someone shows up that arouses hope and the optimistic spirit of America, then I think it can snap people out of it and get us back on the right track.
Well, I hope that somewhere Lincoln Chafee's watching.
2020!
Anyway, okay, a little bit more actually on this. If you were watching Fox News in the last 24 hours, you definitely knew about Donald Trump's rally. So they spent the day teasing the rally, as they do. I'm not even gonna get too on them over that because CNN's, 7 days before town hall, they've got a ticker on it. But they did tease it all day long, and then they aired it. All 1 hour and 14 minutes of the rally played live on Fox News. Just a routine campaign rally. He's not even campaigning for anything himself. They played the whole thing. And according to IQ Media, a media monitoring service, the advertising value of that hour and 14 minute long play by Fox News was $1.9 million that they handed to Donald Trump by playing that. And here's the thing, that hour and 14 minutes, that's not the extent of it. Let's bring up this next chart. You're gonna see the media value of the network's live coverage of Trump rallies. They've given $15 million by playing virtually every rally he does over the past couple of months. They just play it. Now, we also theoretically could have CNN and MSNBC. I mean, I remember CNN played a whole bunch of his campaign rallies, whether he was actually at the podium or not during the last campaign. But for the past few months, this has been the Fox News show. There's no false equivalence here. MSNBC played a couple of minutes of it. Fox News just plays every possible minute. Bring up this next one. They've played almost 8 hours of his rallies. CNN has played literally 0 seconds, 8 minutes on MSNBC over the course of the past couple of months. So, like, if there's any conversation out there, and perhaps there isn't, about whether Fox News is state media, it's done. They're just a free advertising service for Donald Trump. They've handed millions over to him. And like, we criticized the media during the last campaign. They spent way too much time just showing whatever he was saying or whatever. It looks like some people have learned. Maybe they'll forget that lesson when the next presidential election comes around. But in the time between elections, Fox News is there. They are a reliable source. They will give Donald Trump whatever he needs, including millions of dollars in free advertising.
I think we found those few journalists in the media that he said he's okay with, that are his friends, that he's reluctant to say, because they give him things. It's all based in the reciprocal thing. We talked about Maria Bartiromo early this week, who had maybe Sunday, she had the softball interview with him, and she's been working on it. You work on that, on landing that. It's a career move. So the whole time, she's coming on Fox and Friends. I mentioned this when it happened. She goes on Fox and Friends over the past several months and touts the witch hunt that's going on with the investigation. And they'll go, I can't believe Russia. I can't believe what the FBI is doing. I can't believe what Comey's done to you. And she's talking with the Fox and Friends host, but she's talking to Trump, be like, I have a show of my own that once I land your interview, then I get I get a boost. And then the execs go, oh, good job. That's all the job is. So she used to be a thinking person that I think she started with CNBC. She was a money person. Sure. And now she's handing softball interviews to him because that is the career move. So if you give him this, he gives you those exclusive interviews back. We already know he doesn't talk to the media, at least on a one-on-one basis, because when he does for 5 minutes, he says 7 things that are devastating to a normal person. But to him, it just bounces back off because he's Donald Trump.
Right. Even the little bit of access that the press pool had to Donald Trump was on his way from the White House to a one-on-one interview with Fox and Friends and back.
Yeah.
You, it's so weird. Did that look like a reach out of wanting more access? Or did it, I don't know, it felt like she was his base in that moment. I think a lot of people were kind of pointing, because there was a lot of, you're right, that's not what's happening. Yes, exactly.
They
it didn't seem like softballing because you want to maintain, like a lot of times what people complain about the White House press corps. in general, people who don't right. do that, they say that, you know, you're still there, you're not all walking out every day when a big lie happens because you need that access. I understand that. But this was different. It looked different, at least.
It's where it's gotten.
It's how easy it is to.
Like maybe, a yeah. frog in a pot boiling.
Yeah, usually. Yeah. I mean, with anybody in power, I think a lot of journalists, media figures will try to get them on and be nice to them. I mean, in any kind of aspect, even with sports, whatever, even when it's not changing people's lives that much.
Unless so, you're kneeling.
No, then it's yeah. Then suddenly it's a biggest deal
it's
ever.
So impressive.
Yeah. yeah, that's the problem now.
So,
there are some people who believe that we are still in normal times. This is just a continuation of the way things have been. The economy is the same, politics the same. Don't worry about the norms. Don't worry about the media. Don't worry about the attacks and all that stuff. But this is fundamentally different. Like Fox News has been right wing, obviously, and they supported George W. Bush, especially during the war. Not just Fox News, but all the networks were glowing in praise and all that. But there wasn't specific programming that was not just about him or in support of him, but to him. It wasn't that all of your hosts appear to be competing with each other to get jobs in his administration. It would happen from time to time, but it's like the norm at this point. MSNBC, I'm sure many of those hosts probably loved Barack Obama, but it was not this sort of relationship. This is fundamentally different than the relationship between the White House and the media has been as long as I've been a part of this, and even before.
It's bizarre because now we're at the space where if you tell the truth, you're left-wing media. If you say, hey, no, this is a lie, let me show you why this is a lie. We're gonna bring up a very easy, a clear graphic, show you why that is not true, then you're a left-winger. And it's weird. So it's everybody, it's Fox News versus everybody at this point. And it doesn't even matter if that's what your intentions were, if you just tell the truth, but it's not the nicest thing, you are against the president, which is not how this works.
And I don't know how to get through to his like base. It feels like East Germany. I want to like fly over the flyover states and drop leaflets.
I don't think that's going to work. Okay, we're going to take another break. When we come back, the EPA's new rule on coal plants. Let's see what they've got in store for us.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. You're only halfway through, so hold, stay right here. Just want to remind you, if you want to get all 5 segments of the Young Turks commercial free, these are just 2 of them. Every day we do it. So go to tytnetwork.com/join and you get the whole 5 segments, 2 hours ad free. Do it now.
Welcome back, everyone. The Young Turks Friday show. We've got a couple more stories for you. I'll read a few tweets though. Resistance is Fruitful wrote a tweet to JR saying Trump supporters show up at rallies the same way folks go to WWE for the spectacle. They're not seeking hope or leadership, just someone who reflects their perceived frustrations and fears brought on by the very person they idolize. I sort of agree with that. I don't think it's really about him expressing their frustrations. I think he's just telling them who to hate. I think it's much simpler than, it's not like he's actually speaking to their economic issues brought about by decades of blah, blah, blah. He's not doing that. He's saying she's Pocahontas, the media's dishonest to you, hate them.
But I did watch a lot of just like the between the sound bites of that rally. You did too, yeah?
The meat of those things. Yeah, he tries to get into some things, and when he gets into them, it becomes a, it's not as fun of a soundbite, but it just becomes a riling factor. It comes back to, it ends with and then so the people can connect to it and then cheer. It has to be a cheer line to it. It is similar to WWE events, except it's the same way. Except there's an interview with what was the old interview guy from WWE back when it was WWF with the mustache.
And, yeah, I forget his name.
Yes. But it's your backstage talking, and Randy Savage is going, "Oh yeah, Mean Gene."
Mean Gene.
That's the fun part. And then they come out and have the fight, and then it regenerates all those same feelings.
It's a little party. It's a little celebration in something. I don't think anyone's there to learn. It's a celebration of something that they all agree about. And it's a way to be open about it. Because look at they're ready. Those T-shirts and some of the horrifying things.
He brought up Elizabeth Warren. In this random debate that who knows what he's talking about, when and how that would happen. Of course, in a presidential election, right now he's talking about that. And then can incite all of these racial tones there. Because that's the fun thing about for him to do that.
Yeah.
Also, this is not normal. This is an obvious campaign rally less than 2 years after he won the election. This is not normal. This has become our norm. The president is taking time off to go have a party with his supporters constantly.
He's got nothing else to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which, by the way, like, if it was, like, there are versions of this that I would have liked to have seen Obama do. Like, if he were to actually have gigantic rallies, get people fired up about the possibility of single-payer healthcare. Like, if you're pushing for something, I think that's productive, but simply going out there ostensibly to support some sort of candidate, he makes one comment or two about it, mm-hmm. and then here are my political opponents, let's talk about how terrible they are. I don't know what words are acceptable on the show. That's not as productive, so I don't like that.
There's only one way to find out, John.
I will. Okay, so one other tweet, the Mad Lib says, armed journalists, First and Second Amendment. No.
No.
Not interested in that remotely.
My heart dropped before you even finished.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I like that so as much as I like arming kindergarten teachers.
Blitzer's got an Uzi. He's covered Israel.
He just like he turned and you saw there was a shotgun slung on his back.
Yeah.
It's probably not going to happen. Yeah. But I do want to thank two of the members before we jump back on the news. Peter Day and Lindsay Kendall. Thank you for being members of TYT. With that said, a little bit of environmental news, although not the positive kind. Donald Trump and Scott Pruitt killed Barack Obama's clean power plan. And now we have a few initial details about what they intend to replace it with. These are not finalized details, but they are with industry insiders who have been briefed by the White House about what they plan to put forward and have then gone to the media. Anonymous sources, which we are told don't exist. But it turns out they do. So this new proposal would recommend regulating the emissions of individual coal plants, which would call for modest upgrades such as improving efficiency or substituting fuel. That contrasts with formerly what we had under the Clean Power Plan, which encouraged utilities to make broader systemic changes to cut emissions, such as switching from coal to natural gas or renewable power. The new proposal would also give states significant leeway in enforcing the rules. So the one significant thing about this, and I guess it's a good thing theoretically, is that the White House apparently seems to believe that if they were to simply eliminate this entirely, provide no regulations whatsoever, that might run afoul of the Supreme Court. I think they're going to be just fine once they get that fifth justice. But they believe maybe that that is the case. And so they are still maintaining some sort of mild, modest regulations of individual coal plants, although it is nothing like what we had before.
And it's still not enough for a lot of the industry execs and people that supported them financially and given money. Just specifically, Robert Murray, mining executive, longtime Trump donor. He was like, well, this isn't, what I want is nothing, which is, you know, so the lowering of any kind of regulation and barriers for what they can do is still not enough. He said he'd prefer to see the Clean Power Plan scrapped with no replacement, just throw it out and let us run wild. Because, you know, just like if any criminal just wants to run wild and do whatever he wants, like why are there any laws anyway? What doesn't stop me from doing anything I want for?
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
And by the way, as we talked about yesterday, John, Wheeler, who jumped in and took over for the disgraced Pruitt, Scott Pruitt, he's the new acting administrator, and he worked as a lobbyist for some guy named Robert E. Murray, who wanted to completely scrap the entire thing and have no replacement. I wonder how that's going to work out.
And he is a big fan of Andrew Wheeler, of course.
And that's what's terrifying about the way Trump learns. He's learning. He's testing things for weaknesses, and the weaknesses is like,
I get
what's wrong with Jurassic Park? What's wrong with Scott Pruitt? The reason that we notice him is not because of what he's doing in the EPA. The reason we notice him is because of the scandals and the stuff he was doing. Like the $40,000, you know, soundproof booths and the extensive extra security that needs to go with him to Disneyland and all that. So they're replacing him with Wheeler. By this, Pruitt's out because of the scandals. If they replace him with Wheeler, all Wheeler needs to do is not have the scandals, and he can still gut the EPA in the exact same way that Pruitt was. It's just the same thing with Sarah Huckabee Sanders and Sean Spicer.
Yeah.
We noticed that Sean Spicer was flailing, so when he lied, at least we had like bells going off, like, this guy, something's wrong here. And now you just have Sanders who just looks at you and goes like, the sky's green. The water is purple, it's fine.
She essentially also says, like, you're stupid. Big words are hard for you, right? They're very similar, I think. But that's a good point that everyone wants. The army is strong, basically, is the point that, like, listen, one out, same, his twin is in.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like that. But that's how it happens at every level of this.
Yeah,
it's bad, but I mean, I don't want to say, like, there's no hope, no need to fight this, but yeah.
There's hope and there's need. No, it's the second half I agree. The first part, there's no hope. I don't agree.
That we lost JR there for a second.
The need to fight this.
I was worried.
I mean, we're fighting it. It gets worse. Like, this guy's in.
Yeah, you need to fight it. And you also theoretically need to have control over at least one branch of
the hope
government, maybe half of one. That would be cool.
Because the hope would be that these guys have any kind of morality and would actually address it. There's no hope in that. The fighting part, I agree. Let's just clear that all up.
Right.
The fighting part,
this accidentally gives like legitimacy to climate change, though, right? By, at least by default.
Well, they seem to acknowledge that it's worth regulating it.
Because forever they were
for that. Yeah, that's true.
It was like it doesn't exist.
So, by the way, as
my pastor said, it's not a thing.
Really?
No, really?
Not my pastor, but
I was like, I don't go to church.
No, your former and current head of the EPA say it's not a real thing. So, as they alluded to, Andrew Wheeler is the acting head of the EPA yesterday. We did a breakdown of his history, what he's likely to do as acting head. That is up on the channel. You can go watch that. But to give you an idea of how bad he is, he proposed cutting the EPA's staff exactly in half and getting rid of half, which is so ridiculous that it is the plot of the villain in the most recent Marvel movie. That is what he wants to do to the EPA. Now, he's a terrible guy. He will be just as bad as Scott Pruitt when it comes to his impact potentially on the environment. And again, just to remind you of what is at stake. So now we have this, it's like putting a blanket over the problem. Like, it looks like we're doing something, we're not actually doing something. Formerly, under Obama's Clean Power Plan, it aimed to cut emissions from the nation's power plants roughly 32% below 2005 levels by 2030, which was seen as significant at the time. Now, thankfully, market forces have caused the retirement of a number of coal plants. The price of wind and solar power has become increasingly competitive against coal and natural gas. And so many people believe that we could actually be far more ambitious thanks to the market moving in the direction that we need it to go. But we are not doing that. We're moving the exact opposite direction. We are not just not subsidizing clean energy, we're putting tariffs on solar cells. And in the past week, some more solar companies have come out and said that they are cutting jobs. They're not expecting they're going to make as much because people are not going to be putting solar up because it's more expensive, specifically because of the move of Donald Trump.
And that's
so we could be doubling down on the clean power plan. Again, I know everybody wants to pretend false equivalence, it's all the same. Democrats, Republicans, exactly the same. No, Obama was not as good on the environment as he needed to be, particularly in the area of fracking and other areas. But he also put into effect literally dozens of important environmental regulations. And the reason I know that is Donald Trump has spent the last year and a half taking out every single one of them. This is an area where we could have at least had that, if not a better version of it. And now we have to wait at the very least years to hopefully get back to where we were at a couple of years ago.
And that's the thing is, like, it's the solar power, renewable energy jobs are the ones that are suffering under this.
Yes.
And that's because there's not a solar energy person that's used to be the person who employed the head of the EPA.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's the individuals. Trump keeps promising this thing that he's for you workers, you voters out there. No, he is for the wealthy individual people whom you can list and end up in articles like this written by responsible media organizations that expose exactly the individuals behind that corruption. It is a small cabal of crap. Thank you.
You can say that.
Thank you.
That is a great one.
That is a great indie band name, by the way.
Cabal.
Okay, so let's mix it up. Another prominent Republican politician has been accused of groping multiple women, but he's not the presidential nominee, so he's screwed. Okay, you only get away with it if you're gonna be president. But this is actually a very different situation because this has happened before and there has not been much pressure from Republicans for anything to be done about it. In this case though, the state Republican Party in Indiana against this attorney general is actually coming down on him pretty hard. So first, I wanna give you some information about a leaked memo about the allegations against this individual. That is Republican Attorney General of Indiana, Curtis Hill. So a lawmaker who is one of the multiple women who was groped by this AG said that he was very intoxicated when he slid his hands down her back at a bar, put them under her clothes and grabbed her buttocks. She told him to back off and walked away, but he again approached her, reached under her clothing and began grabbing her again. There was also, he gave another staffer a 2-minute back rub, which made her uncomfortable. Another staffer said Hill put his arm around her and slid his hand down her back. When she tried to remove his hand, she said he groped her buttocks, which is apparently his thing. He put his arm around a third staffer's waist and hugged her close, according to the document. And this is not, by the way, over the course of 6 months in a bunch of different places. This was at one event he assaulted all of these women. And he's not a fan of the leakage of this information or the consequences that might come from it. He said that the inquiry by legislative leaders into his conduct was a prejudicial investigation that is deeply troubling. He says, at no time was my behavior inappropriate, nor did I touch anyone in an appropriate manner. Although again, there are multiple women who've come forward to say that he did this. And as I said, the Republican Party is actually taking it seriously in this particular case. The Republican governor of Indiana said that 4 women had the courage to step forward to report sexual harassment by the Indiana Attorney General. The findings of this recent legislative report are disturbing and at a minimum show a violation of the state's zero tolerance sexual harassment policy. But it's not just the governor, the GOP Senate leader and the Republican House Speaker put out a statement saying, we believe that the women who came forward with accounts of inappropriate behavior by the AG in the early hours of March 15th are telling the truth regardless of the Attorney General's denial of these allegations.
Wow, good thing there's a history in the Republican Party of fleshing out these things, going after the people who've been obviously accused of these types of acts, and they get them all out of office. They don't support them at all. They don't make excuses, and they don't prop them up. Mm-hmm. Great how this
but
works.
But in this case, they are actually apparently
good.
Doing something
you
like
that. You know, and by the way,
good dog.
I feel like one of the reasons they are, again, you talked about David Long, the Senate leader, and Brian Bosma, the House leader for Republicans in that state. Also, another part of it was Bosma and Long previously called this an egregious breach of confidentiality and vowed that they were investigating the source of this breach of employee confidentiality and will react accordingly if the source is discovered. They're gonna take care of the guy who actually exposed all this because now they're embarrassed and now they have to do something about it, keep it real. If we can keep this confidential and keep it under wraps, we can tell the Attorney General, hey, chill out, Curtis. Stop, you're gonna embarrass us. Who cares about the victims? Yeah, sure, grab. But you know what? You're embarrassing us now. Now we have to actually act like a responsible people and do something about it. I'm mad at the person who leaked because now I have to act like I care, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, whatever it takes to get them to do the responsible thing.
Yeah.
Like, of course, the best way is for them to say, you know what? We've looked into our soul and we genuinely believe that this was the wrong thing to do. But like,
They have to admit, we're mad because this got leaked.
Yeah.
At least cover that up and go, you know what? I can't believe we found this out.
Yes.
This is not something that's the values of the Republican Party. No, they can't even do that.
Right. You want people to start investigating these things when they first start hearing rumors because you can't tell me that this was the first time. Obviously, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So that's what you
one
want.
Party.
Not even when the first time, when the first time you start hearing that somebody's grabby, like you, or when you see it, or when some, you know what I mean? They immediately then is when you want, that's what we want. But at the very least, this just proves how important the media is.
Yes.
Because if there was nobody to tell this to expose this, nothing would have been done because this wasn't a secret. If this happened, it's never a secret. Yeah. So, I mean.
So your first night of being inappropriate is not like 6 butts.
Right.
He waited his whole life, and you know what? Yeah. He had one too many Midori Sours. I don't know.
It's always Midori Sours.
Right. This
it is. I got some of that.
Yeah.
Happy
half
hour.
Okay. Let's move on. I think we have a couple more minutes. We have another case, a great contrast actually to the story that we just talked about. Even more former students are now coming forward alleging that GOP Congressman Jim Jordan knew about sexual assault that was taking place at Ohio State while he served as the assistant wrestling coach, and that he did nothing. We want to give you the information that they've presented. Former student athlete Sean Daly told NBC Thursday he was groped a number of times by Dr. Richard Strauss while he was at Ohio State during the mid-90s. Daly said he was too embarrassed to report the abuse directly to Jordan, who worked as an assistant coach, but said Jordan was part of conversations about Strauss's systemic abuse of student athletes. Sean Daly went on to say, "Jimmy's a good guy, but to say that he had no knowledge of it, I would say that's kind of hurtful." And additionally, former UFC world champion Mark Coleman came forward saying that he thought there was, quote, no way Jordan didn't know about the abuse. And specifically, he said, there's no way, unless he's got dementia or something, that he's got no recollection of what was going on at Ohio State. I have nothing but respect for this man. I love this man, but he knew as far as I'm concerned. And so that's actually something, even before these most recent two, there had already been multiple students who came forward. They all indicated that they really liked Jim Jordan, but that in this particular case, they're saying there were conversations he was a part of, he knew about it. Others have said they directly talked to him about it. All of them on his side, except in the area where he helped to cover for a doctor who apparently molested hundreds, if not more than 1,000 students over the course of more than a decade.
Again, to go to the defense that Jim Jordan's putting up, and also saying the timing is weird. We mentioned the timing yesterday too. The timing's weird because, you know, I have a powerful position. Paul Ryan's leaving. Maybe I could be up for the speakership. All that good stuff. One of the alleged victims of this said, "Yeah, man, I liked Jim Jordan. I supported him in his campaign. I'm a Republican, but there's this weird thing how sexual assault victims and the Republican Party just." One kind of goes a little bit more than the other to this particular guy, but when it comes to guys who are already elected and need to, of holding on to their power, it doesn't matter anymore. They're like, well, you know, I'm an elected official, like sexual assault, something I don't really care about right now. I'm worried about myself. But guys who call themselves Republicans and support them for agenda or policies, they're like, this isn't a policy I support. It's weird how I have this independent thought about something like sexual assault. So you can't just lump everybody in the same group and say, oh, they must hate me. They must be libs. But that's what they'll say to the general public, and we're supposed to buy that.
Right, and I hate when people bring up the timing, because the timing doesn't matter. We heard that conversation a lot when it came to Bill Cosby. The timing does not matter. It does not matter when people decide to go public about something that was personal to them, something that happened to them. Mm-hmm. What matters is that it happened and someone in charge didn't do anything about it. Someone who was a boss, someone, you know, an assistant coach is the leader of an organization, is a leader, did not protect students. And it doesn't matter when. It doesn't matter that someone said, hey, you're right. This person who didn't protect students who were being molested cannot take over for Paul Ryan. And it doesn't matter that it took them this much to come out and say it. It's just the fact that this thing should have happened.
Yeah.
It didn't matter when they come out about it. It shouldn't have happened. And the same conversation happened with Penn State. Everyone, all of those people knew. All of those people knew. And you have people saying, I told them. And the problem is when, especially with little boys are assaulted or teenage boys or early, you know, 20s, men are assaulted. People, and even the men themselves, it's so normalized to keep that quiet that they're not mad at the people who were supposed to protect them.
Yeah. And what does that clock look like? What does that countdown clock look like of when it's okay to come up with it? Mm-hmm. What goes into you saying like, 10 years is, when, after that, I don't care.
Yeah.
And the other side of that coin is then they never bring it up. And this guy gets to become Speaker of the House.
Right.
And Roy Moore gets to be a senator from the state of Alabama, and all these other people get to do terrible things because people kept quiet for too long. Don't we want justice?
Yeah. Mm. Doesn't matter when. Yeah. We want it as soon as possible, but
law and order.
And what are they expecting the kids to do? Like these are 17-year-old kids. Apparently this doctor is so beloved that despite the fact that he'd been molesting hundreds of kids and they knew about it, they did nothing. Who are they gonna side with if it comes to an actual conflict between a student who steps forward, goes to the head of the university or something like that?
You got your scholarship on the line.
Exactly, the rest of your life theoretically. And the idea that all of these kids, they just decide, you know, all of them despise Jim Jordan so much that they're willing to potentially hurt their reputation. Maybe like people might start to hate them to come forward now to say something against him. Yes, this former UFC world champion, he's just trying to get famous. That's why he's talking about it at this
point.
And
he hates him so much when he says, I respect Jim Jordan. Right.
I love Jim Jordan.
The first guy, Sean Daly, that might have been saying the name right, but he considers him a friend. He's donated to his campaigns before.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
It's and not also, people who are against
him. Another one I'm also pointing out, he said he didn't even see it as abuse. Because he didn't want to jeopardize his career and all that stuff. It happened so regularly. Mm-hmm. They were like, well, this isn't really abuse. I mean, he's just kind of weird. Again, so this is one of the victims, let alone someone who was covering up. You can even come out and say, you know what, man, it was kind of a bad thing. I felt weird about it. But I regret that I was going with the sign of the times and it was just a thing that happened. Again, with the Cosby allegations and all that stuff. It was seen as something that people just did. Mm-hmm. And it was funny for these rape jokes and actual accounts of rape. So what benefit do you have, first off, to tell the truth about what happened and say the reason why you didn't say anything about it, but then when the Michigan State stuff with Larry Nassar came up, you go, man, this is, maybe it was abuse. Maybe I've been abused. A lot of people don't even realize it because of how regular it was. So on top of that, then you have the president of the United States backing this guy up. So what fun is it? And now going up against a president who said, I'm not sure if you're going to get to this, but said,
let's play
Trump.
Yes.
I don't believe them at all. I believe him, talking about Jim Jordan.
Yeah, so Jared put together a mashup. You come forward, and you will expect that the people in power now will never, ever listen to you, as demonstrated in this mashup.
Roger Ailes, is he helping you? Is he advising you?
Well, I don't want to comment, but he's been a friend of mine for a long time, and I can tell you that some of the women that are complaining, I know how much he's helped them, and even recently, it's very sad. Because he's a very good person. I've always found him to be just a very, very good person.
It was very sad when we heard about it, and certainly he's also very sad. Now, he also, as you probably know, he says he's innocent. And I think you have to remember that. He said very strongly yesterday that he's innocent.
Is an accused
Well, he denies it. Look, he denies it. I mean, if you look at what is really going on and you look at all the things that have happened over the last 48 hours, he totally denies it. He says it didn't happen. And, you know, you have to listen to him also. You're talking about, he said 40 years ago, this did not happen. So, you know.
So, you know, if someone's accused of a crime and they say they didn't do it, I guess you shrug your shoulders. You don't know what could possibly happen. I mean, remember there, he's talking about a group of men, one who's alleged to have tried to rape women, one who beat his girlfriend, one who went on dates and tried to molest underage girls. And universally, as long as they've been polite to him in the past, he's going to go with them. And I will say what's interesting about this particular case, because of course he also defends Jim Jordan now, I assumed that Republicans just don't listen to women because they generally don't, they're suspicious of women, they kind of hate them. No, they don't listen to the men either. It is just about protecting their own. Absolutely. They don't care if it's a woman, if it's a former UFC world champion, they're all liars if they're talking about my people.
And they're really under attack.
When you go back to Roy Moore, do you remember those kind of town halls they were having of people who were calling 14-year-old women girls fast and this and that? But essentially, a lot of them were saying, if I forgive him, if this did happen, I think it's better to forgive him than have a Democrat in his spot. Some people don't care.
You eventually have to reveal your true motivations if all the evidence is piled upon you, you find that you're defending a child molester.
And you'll watch Jim Jordan's statement slide and slide as it's harder and harder to refute this evidence.
Can I reveal that? Yeah, so this came out while we were actually doing the show. Apparently, Jim Jordan was talking with Brett Baer in an interview about the accusations and says, quote, conversations in a locker room are different from reported allegations of abuse.
I'm out.
That he went from, I didn't know nothing, there was nothing, to, well, maybe we talked about it, but that's not formal or anything.
When you are an administrator, when you are in charge of students, conversations in a locker room that are you, I think I want to say if you are some sort of a teacher or a coach that you have like you're an automatic reporter like that. That has to be the law. So when someone even jokingly says this in a locker room, you have to take it seriously.
Is it a joke? I doubt it was a joke. Yeah, I bet this guy was like, this is really happening. And it happens to be in the locker room because that's where they see each other. Maybe the conversation he's talking about in the locker room is someone saying, stop molesting me.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's conversations in a locker room. And it's already over. It's already done. That move from the CNN interview when he's in the park going, oh, I've never heard of any allegations of this kind whatsoever. It's interesting, the timing. I get what you mean. It's not the time. The timing's weird. two conversations in a locker room. It is over. That is an admission of guilt there, and it'll shift more over time.
We didn't touch on how locker room talk is, once again, locker room talk. It's the same.
Yeah. Either way, it's irrelevant, I guess.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wish we had more time, but unfortunately, we do have to throw it a break. The second hour is coming up soon. Thank you, guys, for joining me. It's been a lot of fun. Thank you for watching. A whole new crew coming up in the second hour after this break.
Thanks for watching what I hope was a lovely edition of the Young Turks. Now, you know that is two of the five segments that we do because that's free. We want to have you support independent media and come watch the whole show that we do every day. That's five segments overall, no ads at all. That's at tytnetwork.com/join. Come become a member. Thanks for watching either way. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.